Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by Tracy Myers and Charlie Romeliotis from CSNChicago.com. Lots to get to this week, but first things first, Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting events this summer, as well as concerts, theater tickets, and a whole lot more. Go to VividSeats.com to grab your tickets today. All right, before we get to the Hawks rumors on their roster makeover, let's put a bow on Pittsburgh winning the Cup. They're third since 2009, back-to-back, first to do it since the Wings in 98. Hawks won, of course, 3-6 seasons. Who deserves the dynasty status more? Tracy, begin with you.
We're just talking about from then to the present, right?
To me, you almost have to go, like,
it's tough.
Do you go 05 with the salary cap?
Since the salary cap era began, I mean, where these two teams were around that time, you had Pittsburgh possibly moving, and you had the Blackhawks trying to rekindle a lost franchise. So
yeah, 07 they were voted the worst franchise in professional sports.
Yeah. So you had these guys and you thought, okay, there's this possibility. It's tough. I give Pittsburgh, and of course you always look ahead on this thing. I give Pittsburgh a bit of an edge because of the situation they're in, where I think they could be right back there again next year. Not that they would necessarily three-peat, because that's very difficult to do, but you look at their team, you look at what their top players have done, you look at their cap situation, they're in pretty good shape. That's what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at it in the salary cap era, I think I saw the other day that it was the Penguins have 15 more playoff wins than the Blackhawks.
Yes.
So, and obviously they both have 3 cups. But if we're looking at it in this past decade, everybody has been chasing the Blackhawks. Like, they've been the gold standard of this decade. So I don't want to discount the first 3 or 4 years, but Pittsburgh did obviously get a head start because they had one playoff run where they made the Stanley Cup final and the Blackhawks missed out on the playoffs altogether that year.
Correct.
So I don't know. Like for me, Pittsburgh. We could just agree that the story has still yet to be written, because Pittsburgh is. They are really set up to succeed over the next 3-4 years, especially given the money that is coming off the books, especially
this year. And the money they have to spend.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And I think, you know, this debate goes where you begin the timeline. If we go back to 05, I think it's easy. You got to go Pittsburgh, sheer volume of victories, number of times out of the first round, number of playoff series wins, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. But again, Charlie, if you go back just say decade, and you look at it from that perspective, you know, the Hawks are certainly in the running. Now, I always throw in that the Game 7 loss to L.A. in overtime, we might be talking back-to-back-to-back there, which changes the narrative quite a bit. So the other thing I take away from the success of this Pittsburgh team the last 2 years is some people thought they were dead in the water, 2011 and 2012.
I was one of those people. I was totally one of those.
Like, the windows closed. A lot of money spent on, you know, just a couple of players on the roster, a couple of one and dones in the playoffs. Sounds a lot like, I don't know what, the Blackhawks?
Yeah.
So, and then what we saw in the Stanley Cup playoffs were young players emerging and overcoming some key injuries to their team as well.
Yeah, so my only issue with Pittsburgh is they went through 3 coaching changes during the salary cap era. The Blackhawks went through 1, and they've been under the same regime ever since 2008 or 2009. So, like, Pittsburgh, they went through that gap of 2010 to 2015 where they were either a first or second round out in every single one of them except one conference final. So when I look back at that time span, I don't think of, yeah, everyone was gunning for Pittsburgh. And, you know, it was always Chicago's the favorite. Chicago's the favorite. People were building their teams, you know, how they could stack
right.
up against
no,
Chicago.
No question.
In the same vein, though, much to what you were saying, Pittsburgh made changes that they needed to make, and some of them weren't the nicest, kindest, friendliest ones. The coaching changes, a GM change, and
bringing Phil Kessel in.
Yeah, that too.
hated in Toronto. I mean, you know, like a whipping boy in Toronto.
Yeah.
How's the big fat kid ever going to do it?
That was a Jim Rutherford move. I mean, it's so, you know, there were a couple changes even in the front office.
And sometimes it's the moves you don't make.
Yep.
Holding on to Marc-Andre Fleury turns out to be the reason why.
Yeah.
Right?
And also, we have to remember Crosby was hurt a lot of that time. And even Malkin tore his ACL and was out, missed the season. So they weren't healthy during that 5-year span of when they were just quick exits.
Okay. And one last thing. Last couple years watching Trevor Daley, and of course he was injured last year in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Do you think when Joel Quenneville's watching Trevor Daley and Pittsburgh win and the role that Daley played, do you think he's like, God, did I give him enough of a chance? Because he wasn't a Q guy here. Even when injuries said, all right, let's take Trevor from the third pairing and put him in a top four role, he never got top four looks.
No. I think it was a combination. I think Trevor was one kind of player. And I love Trevor Daley. I covered him down in Dallas. So so he and I go way back. You know, he played a certain style in Dallas. And how much of it was also him, you know, realizing, okay, I might have to change what I do too. Now, ended up going to a Pittsburgh team where he didn't have to change. He could just play his style and it worked. But there's no doubt. I think there could have been some give on both sides. And you know, chalk it up to one more, you never know what could have happened.
Yeah, I think this is more an I told you so by Stan Bowman than it is than Quenneville. Because I think Bowman believed in Daley, obviously, more than Quenneville was giving. You know, Quenneville really gave him a short leash. And Daley obviously didn't adapt well. But I think Bowman seeing Daley win two cups in Pittsburgh, he's more like he's more upset that he actually might have been able to fit in Chicago.
All right, let's get to what's on the docket right now for Stan Bowman, and it's a critical couple weeks here, 2-3 weeks, as you look at their their championship aspirations. Let's give you the NHL schedule first. This Sunday, teams protected list will be released for the expansion draft. The 18th through the 20th exclusive free agent window for Vegas. Then Vegas's picks will be released on the 21st. Of course, we'll have the draft here in Chicago next Friday and Saturday, the 23rd and 24th. And then on July 1st, free agency begins. So let's start. The Hawks expected to protect the 7 forwards, the 6 D-men, and goalie. I think we know, you know, the D-men will be Keith, Siebes, and Hjalmarsson. The forwards will be the normal cast of characters. Kane, Taves, Anisimov, Hossa. It'll be Hartman. And, you know, there's a couple.
Yeah.
Panic will be in that mix, too.
Panic's probably in there, yeah.
And we think that they'll expose the 2 forwards, 1 D-man, and goalie. It'll be Kruger and Tutu, probably. Roosevelt and TVR with Jeff Glass as the exposed goalie. So do we still believe, you've reported this, there's been several reports out of Canada, a lot of chatter about this, that Vegas will end up with Kruger and TVR when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the big thing is, and I think it was Frank Saravelli who first talked about this, is that in this thing, it's TVR would be the player that Vegas would want. But the Blackhawks are saying, fine, you can have him, because chances are he might go somewhere else, but you're going to have to take a contract off our hands. And so, yeah, I would be stunned if this didn't happen, mainly because, you know, Frank Saravelli is one more person at TSN, and when he says things are close to 100%, you can pretty much guarantee it. But I think it's a good deal for both teams, but especially the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable. And, you know, because if the Blackhawks do, and they obviously could threaten to trade TVR somewhere else before the expansion draft, and then Vegas is looking at a very limited pool. So I think there's motivation for them to take it on, and it sounds like Las Vegas is going to be taking on a lot of bad contracts as well, and they're just going to bottom out from the start. And if that's the goal, you know, trading for a guy like Kruger or whatever in TVR, and also building a winning culture while you're doing it, because you're bringing in guys that have won two cups each.
While I say, you know, Kruger's getting paid more than maybe what he is bringing on the ice, it's not a grossly over-exaggerated contract.
No.
It just doesn't fit the Hawks.
Exactly.
I mean, where every penny counts,
right.
$3 million is too much.
If he's at 2.5, you don't even,
right, and we all know, too, we all think there was a handshake or wink-wink deal when he agreed to do a bridge deal underneath market value, that he probably got a little bit more on the back end.
Yeah.
And so, of course.
Oh, it was definitely a thank you for waiting.
Right, right. So even if Kruger is moved, which we all expect, and that $3 million cap hit is taken away, it does not solve their cap issues. Friday, we're going to find out what the new cap is for 17-18. It'll either stay flat or it'll go up a little bit.
Yeah.
So likely another core player will have to move, or a salary, let's just say, north of $4
million. Right.
And we all know that the modified no trade clauses, Hjalmarsson and Crow are the only two that have those. And the full no movement clauses, Kane, Taves, Hossa, Anisimov, Keith, and Seabrook. So a lot of rumors being floated around. So far, nobody has reported a current Hawks player has been asked to waive their no-movement clause. You know, knowing what these guys mean, like everybody, there are two ways you can look at it. You can play the game like, well, he's making too much, I want to see him moved.
Right.
Well, then you got to play with the reality. If he does, if he says no, how does that affect the room? Like,
sure.
And I'm talking about Seabrook.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think everybody would say that dollar figure does not fit with the others, the Sesame Street game, which one of these things. But if he doesn't want to go to Vancouver, Toronto, wherever it is, and he stays here, that's poisoning the waters.
Yeah.
And you're going to tick off Duncan Keith and a lot of guys in that room. So when so let's deal with, like, knowing all the facts and the personalities involved. Who do you think some of the likely candidates are, the one or two guys that you could see moved even though they have a no-movement clause?
I mean, the first guy I would look to trade is Anisimov, because there is value there for a team that's looking. You know, the Seabrooks, like, those are contracts that you really can't trade. And then you obviously dip into Nicholas Hjalmarsson, who has a modified no-trade clause. And then, I mean, you can go as far down as Panarin, who doesn't have anything in his clause, and he's obviously he'd bring back the biggest package. But I think Anisimov would be the first guy I would try to move. And I don't know, you know, because we talked about net front presence that the Blackhawks didn't have in the first round, and he's one of the guys that provides it. But at the same time, I think he's movable because you do have a Nick Schmaltz who can step into that role, and you can literally put anyone in between Panarin and Kane, and they'll be okay. I mean, the Blackhawks won 3 Stanley Cups with Patrick Sharp as their second-line center, Michael Hanzus, and Brad Richards. So it's not like the second-line center. I mean, you should have depth up the middle,
right,
but the second-line center, I feel like you can – you'll be able to work it out.
And he doesn't check all the boxes either. Not good with draws.
Yeah.
Right.
When playing hurt, the tougher mentality of going to the dirty area in the playoffs is still a question mark with him. So I'm with you. Anisimov is on my list. Anybody else, Tracy, that jumps out to you?
You know, and I agree with that to a certain point. And then I remember the 4 years that I kept having to answer questions on when the Blackhawks were going to get a second-line center. And then they finally do. And Patrick Kane finally has stability up the middle. And he'll be the first one with a pitchfork and a bonfire saying, please, you finally just got me one and you're getting rid of him. And again, do you talk him into going? Because he's very happy here. He's happy with Chicago. He's happy with his role. He's happy with the fellow Russian. Whoever they lose, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt a lot. That's the whole point, sadly. I've thought Hjalmarsson, and I'm still not ruling out Panarin for what Charlie was just saying.
I would agree with that.
You've got a team, and I think it's a terrible idea. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. It would be a really bad idea. But this is a team that this is the financial situation they're in. They don't get to be choosers as much as they would like. They're in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I think you guys are saying Panarin because he doesn't have the no movement clause
lot.
I mean, because, like, let's be honest.
It's also attractive contract that somebody could fit.
Well, yeah, and he's a top 10 scorer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's what you want more of on your roster.
Right.
Guys that are playing below market value, and playing at a high level.
Right.
Now, again, I don't know if his game is always suited for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Right.
But I don't think the sample size I've seen is large enough to make that determination yet. I still think they're not in everything's on the table mode yet. To me, right. Panarin's a must keep right now. I get what you guys are saying, but I don't see them moving him. I see them exhausting every other option.
Who would be your pick?
Well, for sure, Anisimov is in that. Hossa would be, you know, this situation, what we talk about in Vegas, of teams that, you know, need to get to the floor of the cap, or teams that are well below, like we had it with Florida back when they took Soupy. And,
yep.
and you look at, in all, it's the only real money is $1 million a year. And Hossa's playing far
Absolutely.
Better than $1 million
Absolutely.
A year.
Yeah.
So if you can absorb that $5 million cap hit, then it's only $1 million real dollars. So, you know, that's somewhat attractive depending on how you look at it.
Well, and you would also, for a new franchise that's trying to get some attention, you've got this wonderful marquee name.
Oh, and the best work ethic guy,
best
like you say,
guy,
hey, go do what 81 does.
Yeah, and he's a happy guy. He's a guy that you can put up front. And he is wonderful with people, with the media and everything. In that respect, absolutely, he would be a wonderful catch for
It would be a huge loss.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I think the only reason that Panarin is even, you know, coming to my mind, like a couple weeks ago, I would have said Panarin is off limits. But now we're getting into the reality of the no movement clauses. And I think in my mind, the only reason Panarin is a possibility is because now we're talking about Nicholas Jalmerson as a possibility.
Right.
And it's either Panarin, who has $6 million, or Jalmerson, who's $4 million. I mean, Jalmerson still got real, I mean, he's the youngest of the core on defense. And if you take away him, you're not opening up a huge amount of cap space. You know, it's $4 million. I mean, you could do a lot with that, but Panarin would obviously fetch the bigger package and also $2 million more come off the books. Not that I'm saying I would do it, but that's why Panarin is now, in my mind, a possibility.
Well, and anytime you take, and Charlie and I were talking about this off microphone, whenever you take a defenseman away, a core defenseman, and eventually, you know, they get older and everything, you have to at some point. But to lose a guy like Jarmelson, then you're down to two veterans. And Quenneville says it all the time, that defensemen take more time to develop and progress and everything. And my God, what a loss that would be on the ice. The guy who led your block shots, especially if you are also losing TVR. You know, because then you lose two of your top six. You know, the loss is going to be tough regardless, but if you lose a defenseman, it's really going to hurt.
We're up against the clock here. Quickly, let's talk about the draft. June 23rd and 24th at United Center. We're going to have a draft special on Thursday night, the 22nd, that you can catch on CSN. The Hawks have 10 picks.
Yeah.
Wow. Starting with the 26th overall. Do you see them packaging some of those picks and maybe a prospect to move up in that first round?
Maybe a prospect, and maybe not a pick from this year, but maybe a pick from next year or the year after. I really do think they want to hold on to as many as they can. We've thrown that word out there many a time, so have they. This is their showcase. And by the way, quick side note, whoever they do get off the roster, I'm guessing they do not do it at the draft, because that would kind of bring the showcase down a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But but no, I think that they would hold on to as many picks as they could out of this year.
Yeah, they have the ammo, and I think Elliot Friedman suggested it a few days ago in his 30 Thoughts that the Chicago is looking to move up, you know, just to – and I think it's important not just to make a splash, but – you know, we look at the pipeline in the organization, and the only guy that sticks out is DeBrinket. And he's, you know, I don't know what – he could make the roster or as early as next year. But after that, there's no surefire thing. So it is important to move up from that, you know, spot and maybe get inside the top 15.
We'll all be out of the draft next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll catch your work at CSNChicago.com. Be following you guys on Twitter as well. Great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us on the Hawks Talk podcast. Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting events this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and a whole lot more. Go to vividseats.com to grab your tickets today. Thank you for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. We'll see you next time.